And welcome to another episode of Mr. Badger Talks Hutter Scum. I'm here with a new friend of mine, the lovely presenter of DIY SOS and brother of Beyonce Knowles, it's Nick Knowles. How are you, Nick?
Hello, Mr. Badger. I think you've got a bit confused again, haven't you? Have you been on the same thing as me? What are you drinking, boy?
Piss.
Ah, right. That's probably your first mistake. I'm drinking French piss. It's much better.
How much does that cost?
About £7 a bottle. It's very good French piss.
Oh, God, yeah. I never pay for my piss. I get it from the back of the shops when nobody's looking.
Which shop sells piss?
It's not an actual shop. I don't really drink piss. It's just cheap wine. But when they're loading it into the co-op, I go round the back and nick it, you know.
Oh, right. Got you. Co-op, though? I mean, I thought you'd be Aldi.
No, well, they don't have one near us. I live in the middle of nowhere. I live in a tent, so...
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay.
So you can help me out with that, can't you? Because for a living, you take properties, don't you? And you do them up and stuff.
No, I don't, because I'm poor.
I've seen you on telly, you're not poor.
Wrong Nick. I'm Nick Chung.
Nick Chung.
Yeah.
Like Wang Chung, that dance all days bloke.
Kind of. Yes, I do have a Chinese family name.
Yep. Oh, you're Chinese?
I'm not Chinese. I married a Chinese.
Oh, I was going to say, I thought we...
That's a person, not a restaurant. I married a person, not a Chinese restaurant, just before you get confused, Mr. Badger.
I thought we'd got something in common. Cause, no, I'm part Asian, you see, because my dad was Filipino.
Right, yeah. A Filipino badger.
Yeah. Well, I'm not a real badger. I'm a man in a badger outfit. Look, I can poke myself in the. It's not. It's a mask.
Oh, I see. I thought you were a badger.
No, it's. I know it's convincing, but yeah, it's the best money can buy. This mask is. But no, my father was Filipino, and another thing I have in common with Asian people is I don't pay me taxes. So you know.
Well, yeah. Well, that's Asian people and comedians. Neither of us pay taxes. Like with Jimmy Carr, he thinks HMRC is a rank in the Royal Navy.
Well, the Royal Navy, that's quite a nice little link there, because what we're here to talk about today sounds like the Navy. You're here to talk about the Brazilian footballer Neymar, aren't you?
No. I'm a good man. I don't know anything about football.
I've got written down here Neymar.
No, not Neymar.
Oh, shit. I thought that was... I thought, before I researched it, Affairs of Football, I thought Neymar was what a Geordie says when they can't handle any more stuff, you know. I was like, nah, Neymar.
Yeah, they do. That's true. But that's not what we're talking about.
So what are we talking about, then?
We're going to talk about Vanguard, Vigilant and Vengeance.
Oh, is that film where the man's got a white mask on?
Close. They are nuclear missile submarines.
What do you do there? Because you're not DIY SOS. What do you do?
So I used to do, many moons ago, submarines. I used to be a submariner.
You don't want to be on there. That's where all them gays hang out.
I know. That's why I went there. Big black tube full of semen. How could I resist?
Oh, dear. Oh, I'm a strict Christian, you see. I'm not too sure.
A Christian
sure
what... Filipino badger.
Yes. All the Filipino badgers are Christian.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I might have broken character slightly there. I don't know. So you didn't mind being on the submarine with all the men then?
Well, the disappointment was actually I joined the Navy expecting it to be all village people, and it wasn't. There was barely any gays. Well, I mean, when we started the journey, there were barely any gays.
I take it, it's not, well, I'm hoping they were converted, that this isn't a sort of Me Too movement in reverse.
Well, if there was a Me Too movement, it'd be covered by the Official Secrets Act.
Yeah, yours would be more of a U2, wouldn't it? So you joined the Royal Navy then? I tell you, you knew you were gay when you joined.
No.
Oh.
So I grew up in a very small fishing town with about 1,000 people in rural Norfolk, where it was the 90s and no one was allowed to be gay because they get the head kicked in. So
Norfolk always confused me because it's called Norfolk, but everyone does fuck each other, don't they?
Only if they're related.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I didn't have any relatives, so I wasn't allowed any sex.
How did you grow up there then? Was you in Orphan like me?
No. I had a mum and dad, but even Norfolk people don't do mums and dads. That's American.
Ah, okay. So you had your mum and your dad, but no other family members. You saw an opportunity to go and put yourself in a big steel tube full of men, and you didn't know you was gay at this point.
No, didn't know. When I joined the Royal Navy, that gave me the chance to work out what was going on and what those feelings were. I had feelings, but I didn't know I was gay until I managed to get several hundred miles away from all my schoolmates and then actually go, oh, fuck, I like men.
I was going to say experimented with women, but that sounds sort of Frankenstein-y, doesn't it?
Oh, everyone experimented at college, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, because isn't there something called a gold standard gay, that they're the ones that have never done anything?
Yeah, so you've got your top rank is platinum, and they've never touched a fanny. They went out via the sunroof, or C-section. Yeah. Then you've got your gold standard. The only fanny they touched is the one they left. And then I'm probably down at, like, brass level. I'm a brass gay.
You're a prostitute?
No, brass gay. You need to get some of that cloth out your ears, boy.
A brass gay. Brass gay.
Yeah.
When you went into the Navy then, you were straight.
I didn't know what I was, but I knew I wasn't same as everyone else.
To that point, though, you'd had no sort of relationships with anybody of the opposite sex.
I'd had relations with the opposite sex.
Oh, sorry, with the same sex, yeah.
But I hadn't had relations with the same sex, no.
Ah, right. But as you said, when you joined the Navy, you were the only gay bloke on that submarine.
Yeah, so, I mean, when you join the Navy, they don't just put you straight away in a submarine. They like you to have some training first. So when I did my training, I worked out I was gay.
Yeah, what was your training then, sucking cock?
No, how to iron your shoes and make everything look nice and pretty and neat.
Now, hang on, iron your shoes?
No, iron your clothes and polish your shoes.
I was going to say.
It's good.
Yeah, because ironing your shoes is quite true. Unless it's ironing with your shoes, if you heat a shoe up and go over your clothes with it.
Yeah, but then you get skid marks.
Nah, it depends what you've been doing with your shoes, really, doesn't it? If they're nice, clean shoes, you know, right?
But anyway, so I suppose.
How old were you when you joined the Navy then?
I was 18.
18. And had you been to college or anything before that?
I failed miserably at college because the original plan was I was supposed to join the army as an officer. And when I did so badly at college, I decided to join the Navy as a regular rating.
You'd always had like dreams of being in the services then?
Well, where I lived, the work was basically working as a care worker or working in holiday industry. So you were unemployed half the time. So the military was where a lot of my schoolmates went to because it was the only full-time employer that were really taking lads from sleepy fishing towns in Norfolk.
Yeah, well, I suppose with that then, it's quite lucky that you ended up in the Navy because I know the Army, especially back in the 90s and whatnot, were very, very anti-gay, weren't they?
Well, yeah, even the Navy was. I mean, in the military, it only became legal to be gay in the year 2000. and I joined in 2004. So there was still a lot of people on the submarines that remembered the good old days. In fact, the quickest way to get out the military was before the year 2000 was to tell your officer you were gay and you'd be out the door the same day.
That's insane. So it was illegal to be gay in the military up till the year 2000.
Under military law, yes.
Jesus.
In fact, they used to send police officers to the local gay bars, and if they spotted any matlows they recognised, a few questions would be answered the next day.
I'd have thought if a police officer went to a local gay bar, that was how the village people were formed.
Well, no, these were military police officers.
Yeah, I don't think the one in the village people was a proper policeman, I'll be honest with you. I don't know what...
Well, those handcuffs look pretty real.
Yeah, I know, but the arseless chaps didn't, so...
I thought he just fell off his bike.
Imagine, he might have grabbed gravel burn on his bottom.
Exactly, bit of road rash.
But that, I told you that, though. The in the Navy, the song by the Village People, that had gay connotations for years, so...
It did, and the Royal Navy and the American Navy hated it.
Oh, okay, so... So, again, it's not just the UK Navy. This is across the world. They were very, very homophobic.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of military branches were.
So, when you found out then, how cautious were you about letting people know?
Well, I would have said reasonably cautious, but I got outed really quickly.
Go on, explain this story.
So, after doing my basic training, I joined my first submarine, and I think the first day I went to do duty on the submarine, someone in the mess said, "Are you gay?" And I was like, "Yeah, and?" Because there was no way of lying about it. They must have seen me out with a little local twink, and it was like, "Hang on."
Literally, in the time of you joining the Navy to finishing your training, that's when you'd worked out that you were 100% gay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the time where I had to, during my basic training, come out to my family and my girlfriend. That was interesting. And then, yeah, I started active service on a submarine, and I knew I was gay, and very shortly after, everyone else knew.
I tell you, from what you hinted at before, there are a few other people that perhaps didn't know they were gay until you maybe got on a long voyage somewhere.
I think there was a few people that didn't let anyone else know they were gay. I remember once being on the sea and there being a medical officer come up to me, and he wanted a private word, and I'm like, "Oh shit, I'm in trouble. What have I done?" And he says, I hear you're a gay." And I went, "Yes." And he went, and I thought, "Oh dear, what's he going to say? Is he going to accuse me of something? And is he going to say something bad?" And now he asked me if I brought any porn on board that he could borrow.
Yeah. But as I say, if it's been legal for, what was it, 4 years by that point?
You think only people... 4 years.
Yeah, but you think people's attitude, especially towards carrying around a little bit of, you know, porn, like a magazine or something, they'd relax slightly.
Well, I think that this person had been in the Navy a lot longer than it had been legal.
Yeah, so it sort of drummed into him as in, like, it's still not the right thing to be doing.
Yeah. I think he may also have had a wife.
Oh, dear. Oh, okay. But I did know somebody, this is a genuine story, I knew somebody in the RAF like that. And it's only when he left the RAF that he came home and told his missus exactly what he'd been up to. And, I think he moved to something like Thailand or something with a young boy he met. So,
fair enough.
Yeah, I don't know whether it's all sort of services that people flock to just to get away from their partners for quite a long period of time.
Partners, locals, bullies. I mean, it was weird going back to my hometown. Because after being in the Royal Navy, because it didn't last as long as I was expecting, I did all sorts of other jobs, like being a bouncer and being a kindergarten teacher in China. And then last year I went back to my hometown, and it was interesting to see how things had changed.
It's quite nice that you said the kindergarten teacher in China, because China is one of the few places where they'll let me near a school.
Oh, yeah, well, as long as you've got an English accent, yeah.
It was more that the money that they were worried about. As soon as I flashed a little bit, they were like, yeah, you can come into these kids, you know. Not come into the kids. We'll scrub that off the record. I didn't say that. Yeah, come into the school. So, did you have a nice time in the Navy then? Because I sense you said that you didn't spend enough time as you wish you had done.
So, I mean, I originally thought that I was going to be in the Royal Navy for about 22 years. Because that's the contract you sign, like a 22-year contract. And I thought I was basically going to be there for the rest of my life, and that's what it was going to be. Earn the money, get the house, da-da-da. It was an interesting experience. You hear the phrase brothers in arms, yeah, where people are basically fighting together so close. I trust some of the people I serve with more than I trust my own family. But yeah, that's just because of the being stuck in that environment. It was a very weird thing. But there was also times when I had to have meetings with the Equal Opportunities Officer, because either they thought I was being bullied and I wasn't, or straight matalos thought I was perving on them in the showers.
I've never understood the whole sort of like the weird ego that goes into men's brains, where as soon as they find out that somebody's gay, it's like, they probably want to look at the dick. So they probably do, but to laugh at it, not to fantasize about it.
That's the thing that pisses me off, because a lot of people just don't understand. Gay men have standards.
Exactly.
We do.
It's exactly the same as fancying a woman. It's like, if they look like shit, you're probably not going to want to see them naked.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Have you heard about the American basketball, ex-basketball player Tim Hardaway?
I love that name.
I know, and he's not the one that sang What Is Love. That was a different Hardaway. No, this is Tim Hardaway. He's one of the 50 greatest NBA players of all time. He's made it like into lots and lots of, you know, top lists and everything. But for a short period in the 2000s, he was ostracized by the NBA. Because he publicly came out and said that he wouldn't want a gay man in his locker room because he could catch gay off him, and he didn't want to also be perved on by a gay man. And it was all because a British player called John Amici came out after he retired. So again, you'd think after retirement, even if you have got some homophobic thoughts, you can just keep them in your head. But oh no, not Tim Hardaway. And so the NBA sort of said, right, that's it, we're having nothing more to do with you. Until he just sort of gave a vague apology, and then they went, everything's all right now.
Yeah, God. Yeah, I mean, it was the same thing with the British. Hang on, I'm trying to break the gay stereotype here. British footballer Justin Pashnik.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a story set of affairs.
Well, I think with that one, Brian Clough told him that if he saw him coming out of any more gay clubs, he'd break his legs.
Yeah. Surprising.
That was his supportive manager when he put his arm around him, sort of like, we're doing what we can to look after the lad. He basically said, if I catch you in the papers again and you're coming out of one of them fucking clubs, I'll break your legs. Nice one, Brian. Nice and supportive. Best English manager we've ever had. Yeah, oh dear. But I tell you, you didn't have any nasty situations like that in the Navy then. They were quite understanding.
I don't think they were understanding, but we all accepted that when the submarine was underwater, we all had a job to do, and it didn't matter who you are. You had a job to do.
Talking of doing a job in the submarine, where do you shit?
We had toilets.
Yeah, but where does it go? Does it like just fire out into the sea?
No, it goes into a special tank, and when you're sure it's safe, it goes out into the sea.
How could it not be safe?
Well, if another submarine's following you, sniffing for shit.
I thought you meant you've upset a shark or something. Like, fucking dirty bastards. Typical Brits coming over here, chucking the shit in the sea. But you didn't really have any negative times in the Navy then?
I mean, in the end, I... My naval career ended because I had a nervous breakdown, but that wasn't because I was gay, weirdly enough. It was, so when I was at school, my mum always said to my schools, I was dyslexic. Yeah. Because we had a history of dyslexia. And she said to all the schools, this boy is dyslexic, diagnose him, get him tested. And every school said he can't be dyslexic because he's too intelligent. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I joined the Royal Navy and I did my basic training and I joined the submarine. And then I had to do my submarine training for my job. So what I was a data analyst, and I had to basically work out sonar data and work out where something might be using trigonometry.
Yeah.
In my head.
Oh, in your head, okay.
Have you heard of a cosine, Mr. Badger?
No, I'm not. When it comes to, like, in English, I think it's called Mongomathics or something.
Mongomathics, yeah.
I didn't do the school. They wouldn't. I was in school for a bit, but they kicked me out, so I don't really know what, you know.
This is a part of Mongomathics called Algerian Mongomathics, okay? And basically, instead of using numbers, they use letters and squiggly symbols.
Yeah, oh, that's like how I write, that is.
Ah, yeah. But apparently that then meant a math thing. And I had to do that as my job. And then they realised I couldn't do that. So they finally got me tested and found out I was numerically dyslexic. I had dyscalculus.
Dyscalculus?
Yeah. So I tried to do a job with numbers when my brain doesn't process numbers.
Oh, dear. So you'd be no good on fucking Countdown.
Nope. Not very good at Countdown. Not even Cats does Countdown. I'm terrible at numbers.
They'd be like, I'll have three from the top, Nick. And you go, which one's the fucking top and how many's three?
No, I could do. I know what's top and I know what's bottoms because I'm a gay. Remember?
I was going to say, I thought
tops and bottoms I've got sorted. It's the yeah, it's the rest that I'd struggle.
And for a short period of time, you did know what the middle ground was as well. Ah, oh, dear. But did that force you to leave the Navy, or is that later on?
So yeah, basically, the Navy gave me three choices. They said I could continue with my job, or I could change branch, or I could leave the Navy. Now, I was probably about 19 at the time, and I had a look, and I said, well, you've got this photography branch where you look at satellite photos and basically play Where's Wally with missile launchers. That sounds brilliant. Can I do that job? He says, no, you've got to be promoted. I was like, well, can I change branch, get promoted, and change branch again? And I'm like, no, you can only change branch once. So I went, okay, I'll stick in the job I'm in. And then in a 12-month period, I spent 9 of them underwater doing 3 different patrols. So I'd basically go out in a submarine to somewhere, come back, get on another submarine, go out again somewhere, come back, and then get on a third submarine and go out. And I think after the third patrol, my brain kind of went a bit wrong. And I woke up 16th of December 2006, burst into tears for 2 hours.
Oh, dear. They didn't discharge it at that point, then. It was a case of it's still up to you if you leave or not.
So they sent me to the naval psychiatrist to talk about it. And I mean, this is early 2000s. Mental health is not brilliant at the time, and certainly not brilliant in the military. And basically they said, well, you've got situational depression. You are depressed about being in the Royal Navy. We cannot fix that apart from you not being the Royal Navy anymore. So they gave me an honourable discharge, but no aftercare, and just went, off you go, bye. And from being a guy that can use submarine equipment, which is like from the 80s, into the general world, I didn't get many job offers.
And I take it as well, if you'd only been in the Navy for like a year or, you know, year and a half.
3 years, yeah.
Oh, is it 3? Yeah, so if you've been in the Navy for 3 years, people would look at that as well and go, oh, you know, he quit. He's yeah. What's the point in giving him a job? He'll just quit here.
So, yeah, I ended up going from there and being a bit lost. And then I was a barman where in a seafood restaurant where I had someone ask me if I had crab's legs. And I said, no, I always walk this way. And then I became a bouncer. And then I became a kindergarten teacher.
Now, that's a weird leap, really, isn't it? I can understand somebody going into bouncing work, you know, because you have to train for that and whatnot. But
trying to explain to a drunk Scotsman he can't get in is the same level of explanation you need to do for a five-year-old.
I suppose so. And to be fair, you shouldn't be letting in five-year-olds. You're a terrible bouncer.
It's probably why I had to leave the country and move to China.
What did take you to China? Because, again, it's a weird leap. If you've only ever... I know you were in the Navy, but if you were stuck in a submarine, then all of a sudden it's like, fuck it, I'm going to China.
Yeah, I think the Navy would have been a bit worried if I'd have done it straight after I'd left.
Yeah.
So I left it a couple of years. It was like from 2007 to 2014. So it'd been about 7 years before I left for China. But no, I left the Royal Navy just before the recession hit.
Yeah.
That was good fun.
I was going to say, well done.
Yeah. And then eventually got a job as a bouncer and was working in security for 5 years. And I managed to get a flat, but I couldn't afford any furniture. So I had to sleep on a beanbag on the floor. Which I'm sure is the arrangement you probably have at the moment, isn't it, Mr. Badger?
Well, no, currently, at the moment, I say I have got a tent, but I'm shall we say, borrowing a house from an elderly couple that I haven't seen
borrowing
for a while.
Yeah. I did wonder why I heard muffled screams in the corner. Are they okay? Have you given them water?
Oh, these ones won't be screaming, trust me. Oh, dear. So you went to China? You became a primary school teacher. And I'm
kindergarten
guessing...
teacher.
Oh, kindergarten.
Even younger, yeah. Well, I had to teach five-year-olds photosynthesis and they understood.
Fair play to you. So, is this where you met your partner then and got the name Chung?
Yes, I met my husband on Grindr in China.
With a Chinese Grindr?
No, English Grindr in China.
I was going to say... Because what's it like for gay people in China?
Not as bad as people think.
Yeah, I was always told that it's like a very, you know, keep it to yourself, hush hush sort of situation.
So, according to Chinese law, you can be gay. That's fine. They're not going to give you any additional protection if you're discriminated against by being gay. If your boss fires you because he doesn't like you being gay, you're not going to get a tribunal, but you can be legally gay. It's not a mental health condition anymore. The main thing is it's the families, because the parents all want their kids to have grandchildren. It's very much like a country of Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Yeah, I see what you mean. So if you're gay, like that's it, you're not going to be giving them the grandchildren. So they look.
It breaks the norm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's more the parents that are a bit off about it.
So is that why you've moved back to the UK?
No, we moved back to the UK because I'm bored of being called Daddy now. I want to be called Dad.
No, hang on. What are we talking about here?
So normally, because I'm quite a big bloke, I have lovely little Asian men call me Daddy. But now I'd like to be called Dad by my own son. So we've come over here to have children.
So are you actually adopting at the moment? Are you in the process?
Well, our ultimate plan is I want to go back underwater. I'm actually qualified as a scuba diving instructor. So I want to have kids and then move to the Philippines so I can teach diving. And the adoption agencies don't really like you adopting a child and then running to another country. They get a bit worried about you doing that. So we're going to do surrogacy.
Well, I can understand why after the whole Madeleine McCann incident, because you'd never go to another country with a little kid and then fuck about near the water. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but talking about, well, we'll bring it back to fucking about near the water. Your time in the Navy there, which is what we really wanted to get to the meat and two veg on. We've got about 3 minutes left. Would you recommend it for anybody? And if yes or no, why?
I would recommend it because it taught me a lot of skills that I've taken through my life. And I'm sure now, because it is 2023, they're a little bit more up to date with their opinions of gay people.
Yeah.
And it's an honour to serve your country. I don't know which country you're going to serve.
The Philippines!
Fair
obviously.
Enough.
Yeah.
Well, you said you're half Filipino. Where's the other half from? An animal testing lab, or...?
I don't know where my mum's from. I think she's Welsh. She's all sorts of fucked up. What do they call them? What do they call them breeds where they're all mangled together? A mongrel!
Mongrel.
Well, I think someone called her a mongrel or something once. I don't know.
So, yes, it's an honour to serve your country. Although... the downside is you serve the country because of what your government tells you to do. So maybe what I'd recommend is if you're going to join the Navy, wait till the Tories have gone. Although, happy news today, did you hear?
Suella Braverman has...
he's gone! Woo!
She decided to leave on her own volition.
Yes. And nobody will check if she got pushed down that staircase.
And luckily as well, they've found a lovely replacement, haven't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, we won't mention that. But, so anyway, yeah, it is...
Well, you're not friends with any pigs, are you?
No. I've never shagged a pig myself, but I can't understand why you'd want to do that as part of an elitist boys' club. I mean, like, you've never shagged anything weird, have you?
No, I haven't.
There was a long silence before that, so I'm taking that as bullshit.
I mean, there were a lot of things I've shagged, so I had to go through the full list.
Yeah.
So I just had to double check all of them.
You were thinking that night when I had that particularly fat, hairy lad, am I sure he wasn't a pig?
Well, no, it was more like during that orgy of about 10 people, were they all human? So I just had to do a quick head count.
Was one of them a father? Is that as close as you're going to get?
Yes. I didn't. I get their jobs. I didn't ask their jobs.
No. It's another sort of job you're interested in when you're in that sort of environment, isn't it?
Yeah, bloody good blowjob.
Yeah, or a nice reach around. So anyway, it's been lovely nattering to you, and it's lovely to see that although the Navy perhaps wasn't positive for you at the time, it hasn't really scarred you. You know, you've come out the other side, you're quite happy, and you're willing to recommend it to people. So,
well, this is the thing. The scars that you have just make thicker armour for tomorrow.
Yeah, oh, what a lovely saying. That's very nice, that is.
Well, it's better than the mental health saying I heard the other day when I was in a Norfolk pub.
Go on.
Two drunk blokes looked at each other and one said, "If you don't let out your feelings, I'll fucking slap you." It was the most aggressive counselling I've ever seen in my life, and it was brilliant.
What if the other person was scared of being beaten up?
No, apparently it was just, things have been going a bit bad, and he says, "You've got to tell me, let it out, otherwise I'll slap you."
That's fair enough. I think that's an NHS doctor. So, it's been lovely nattering to you, Nick. Is there anything you'd like to plug while you're on here, like any socials or any shows going on or anything?
All of my socials and shows you can find on my website. If you look for longwhocomedian.weebly.com. That has all my information about shows I've done, upcoming shows, and yeah. And I'll also put a link to this wonderful chat on my website as well.
Oh, well, that's lovely. Thank you very much for that. Because I say, Long Who is your performing name, isn't it?
Yes. Long Who is the arsehole I wished I was growing up because I'd have been bullied less.
If you were called Long Who in school, I'm sure somebody would have bullied you for that. And show fucking show us and prove it then. But it has been nice. And with Long Who, it's not just comedy, is it? You do sort of acting and pantos and all that sort of stuff, don't you?
Yeah, I've got a pantomime coming up in Cheshire in the Hayloft, where I will be Widow Twanky.
Oh, breaking stereotypes.
Yeah. Being a bit of a dame. Well, I mean, I've already got the high heel shoes, so I might as well put some use to them.
Well, in fact, before we do leave, we've literally got a couple of seconds. Before we leave, can you just explain the whole high heel thing?
So it was Halloween in about 2016. And it was a Halloween show. And I thought, what would be the most terrifying thing to dress up as? And I thought, well, actually, a 6'2" bloke in heels would scare the audience. Because this was in China where I started comedy. So I thought, I'll wear some high heels on stage and the front row won't know if I'm going to seduce them or fall on top of them.
That's it. Fuck them or fight them. That's the two options.
Well, and that's what... you just do a combination of the both.
I see. and that's where your career really took off in China, wasn't it? And then you're carrying it on now in the UK. So if you want to catch Nick, check out Longhu. I'll put a link to your website in the thing. But before we go, can you say goodbye to the boys and girls, Nick?
Well, how would you like? Would you like it as widowed twanky?
Yeah, go on. Get your twanky out.
Ooh, hello, boys and girls. Well, thank you for listening to us, and it's all been very good fun. And all remember, make sure you wipe it after you've put it in. Thank you, and goodbye.
Bye-bye, boys and girls. Bye-bye.